Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, how's everybody doing today? This is Ryan Dorfman hosting the show today, and hear the music going, and I am excited for this one. We've got a great guest list today, including some very, very special guests. Obviously, I'm not sure if you heard, but I started working for a company called Combate America, and today on the show, we're going to have three guests. Our first guest today goes by the name of Jose Froggy Estrada. I think he's on the line now. Jose, are you there?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here right now.
Froggy, how's it going, Froggy? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, brother? Good. Just enjoying the holidays, relaxing a little bit, still working out. Actually, right, sitting in front of the gym right now, getting ready to go get some work in just right after I get off this podcast.
Been seeing your Instagram videos, man. You've been putting in that work. I see it every day. You're a beast, bro. You are a beast. For those of you that do not know this guy, this is Jose Froggy Estrada, one of the best and most exciting fighters in Combate Americas. So, Froggy, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today, man. I really do appreciate it.
No, and I thank you for you guys considering one of the top fighters for Combate Americas, one of the most, exciting fighters. Like I said, I always try to bring a show, whether I have a crowd or not, I try to bring a show, whether it's my hometown or whether it's not my hometown, obviously. So, I try to bring the best Froggy every single time, and that's the reason, I bring the most exciting fights, and that's the reason, I consider myself and the rest of my fans, family, considering one of the top 145ers for the Combate division.
Yes, sir. I got about 20 minutes with you, Froggy, so I'm looking forward to really letting people know who you are and what you're about. First of all, why don't you tell me, where does the nickname Froggy come from?
That nickname Froggy came from originally from elementary school in the fourth to fifth grade. My first year of football, I was actually, obviously a little shorter, a little stockier. I've always been a big boy all my life. I've always been a little thicker. So, as a young fifth grader, I was playing football first ever. And since I was good at kicking, I ended up becoming a kicker. And as taking my steps back, as normal field goal kickers do, I would hop back because I was short to take my big steps. So I would hop back. And ever since then, my buddy, Steven Padilla, to this day, we still talk, we still communicate. And he's the one that called me the Bullfrog. So at first it was the Bullfrog during football, about the fifth grade. And after that, throughout middle school and high school, Froggy stuck the whole time. Teachers wouldn't even they wouldn't know me by my real name. They would call me Froggy Estrada. Forget Jose. There was no Jose. It was all Froggy only. So ever since the fifth grade, since I was a youngster, that's pretty much when I've had the name Froggy.
Did your mom call you Froggy, or did she call you Jose?
Yeah. They my mom and my dad, they call me Froggy. But when Jose comes out, I'm in trouble. But for the most part, most of my family calls me Frog, and they pretty much keep it simple. They keep me Frog. They call me Froggy, and sometimes I'll get the Jose here and there.
Gotcha. Well, I guess it's pretty apparent where those strong leg kicks of yours come from, man, with that kicking experience back when you were younger.
Oh yeah, that's exactly where my kicking comes from. My uncle's got me into soccer, and ever since then, I definitely like to kick a lot.
Yes, sir. So, Froggy, first of all, let me tell the audience, everyone listening, obviously, in your last fight, it did not go your way, but Froggy fought a guy named Levy Marroquin, who was the winner of the very first Copa Combate. So definitely not something to, to get down about. Levy Marroquin is a phenomenal fighter, as is yourself. So you should hang your head high about that fight. But talk to me about the Monterrey fight against Levy, Froggy. Looking back now, how do you think that fight went?
Everybody's seen it themselves, I walked into that fight, expecting the loud Monterrey crowd. I expect every single thing that happened during that fight. I expected everything. Only thing I didn't expect is the Levy to, I expected him to come forward. I know Levy's a good fighter. Much respect to that guy still. He's a Copa Combate champion. I just fought 3 5-minute rounds with the champion. And, I feel that I pushed the pace. I pushed forward the whole time. You know, I always felt like I didn't feel like I was having to chase him, but I felt like his back was like 90% of the time was against the cage. I was putting the pressure on. I was, you know, going for takedown attempts. Yeah, he hit me a couple times, but there was nothing significant where I felt like I was going to go down or he was going to submit me. There was no point in time where I felt I was in danger. I just knew I had to keep pushing forward, forward, forward. And every single time I pushed forward, he didn't like it, you know. Unfortunately, I know what I have to do if I ever go to somebody else's hometown and fight in their hometown. You know, obviously, I had the crowd against me. You know, I got kicked in the balls. The crowd started booing me. They obviously didn't see that. You know, so that's when I buckled back up when he got kicked in the balls, and I had to buckle back up and, you know, go back into the fight. I couldn't let the crowd get to me. So, you know, I feel that I honestly won that fight. Till this day, I got people calling me, texting me. I've had random fans walk up to me on the street out here in Oxnard. I had a guy at Subway come up to me the other day. Hey, dude, how was Mexico? Wait, you won, right? I was like, he told me congratulations, and I didn't know how to accept that. And I was like, for what? I was like, if you don't see, I kind of like we lost. And he's like, no, you won that fight. And I was just like, oh, so we started talking and stuff, talking about the fight. And you know, as humble as I am, as respectful to my fans, that same day I bought him a sandwich at the Subway actually, and so you know I really think I won that fight. And you know, 2019, if there's ever a chance for a rematch, I would love to face him again. And you know, I would love to face him over here this time. You know, let's make it even. I went to your hometown, I went to your hood, and you know, for the most part, I had lots of his fans tell me congratulations, and most of his fans still text me or send me DMs till today. And, you know, I feel that it would be a great rematch. You know, I don't know what Combate has lined up for him or myself, but if there's a chance, I would love the rematch in 2019 as soon as possible, because, sorry, Levy, but I'm going to be that nightmare you're never going to forget about, brother. You know, it sucks to take a now, but I know I clearly know I won that fight that night. And, you know, but I still say respect to Levy and his team. And like I said, hopefully 2019, we get that rematch going. If not, we're looking for the bigger, better fights this year. And, you know, I'm looking to fight a lot more this year in that Jaula.
How many times? How many times do you think would you like to fight this year if you could?
I'm trying to fight as much as possible this next year, not just two fights. I'm ready to fight three fights a year, or even if it comes down to it, four fights this next year.
You want to be the Donald Cerrone of Las.
Yeah, I sure do. You know, whatever it takes this next year, you know, I know that my weight class just had the Copa Combate, you know. I know there's that big name out there. Everybody's going to come after him. Andres Quintana, you know, we've had our numerous, you know, talks about, you know, wanting to fight each other. But, you know, like I said, he fought, he just won that tournament. Respects. I know he has the time to take some time off, get better himself, and you know, hopefully 2019, I get to see another Copa Combate champion as well.
Really? So you guys have spoken about fighting, you and Andres.
Yeah, on Twitter and stuff, we've gone at it before.
What have been the talks? What has it been like? Can you kind of shed some light into what was said?
Well, we actually had a little talk, a personal talk in person, actually a few months ago in L.A. We were doing the social media what was it? We're doing a social media like outlook, not an outlook, but like what was
takeover?
It? Yeah, like a takeover in LA. It was Campbell. Everybody was there. A bunch of our fight. John Castaneda, he was there. Andres Quintana was there, and you know, I was getting ready to go work out, and he happened to be down in the same elevator, and we ended up running into each other with nobody around, just me and him. And I just, you know, I told him, well, what's up? Are we gonna fight anytime soon or what? And, you know, he may say something different, but I know what I said. I told him, you know, I'm down to fight you. If you're down to fight me, let's make it happen. And this is before the Copa. This is before anything. And, you know, me and him know what we said to each other for sure. There was no cameras around, nobody around. And I told him I'd be willing to fight him, and he said he's willing to fight me. And, you know, me and him spoke it out in the elevator, and we just walked away after that. But, I mean, for me, with that guy, I'm definitely not cool with that guy, but like I said, much respect to him for winning the Copa, but, you know, I hope to eventually see him in the near future as well.
So there's – I know you just mentioned, you said you're not cool. Was there something that happened, or is it just general animosity towards each other?
it's just the general animosity for each other. I really don't like the guy. I mean, he comes off on me in a bad way, and you know, I just don't like the guy. And you know, we talked it out. We talked about fighting, and if it's gonna happen, it's gonna be a good fight too as well. And like I said, I hope to face another Copa Combate champion in 2019, and he's that person. So hopefully, I could get my winning record back up, and hope to see him in the near future.
Let's go back to the Levy fight. I mean, it seemed like you thought you had yourself up on the scorecards once the fight ended. How much of a shock was it to you that the judges gave Levy the decision victory?
You know, it was a big shock. You know, in my head, you know, I had a feeling. You know, I knew what I had to do going into the fight. I knew I had to put Levy on his back, and I knew I had to take him out in his own hometown. If it wasn't me, it was gonna be him. And you know, for the fact that Levy fought three times in one night, he's a Copa Combate champion. He's put on great performances. He's explosive. He's strong. I expected all that from him, but you know, in reality, I didn't feel that one single thing was affecting me during the fight. And for me pushing forward, for me, you know, attacking the whole time, you know, walking out of there with a slight minor injury that, you know, I'm fixing, I'm rehabbing right now. You know, that me and my team are taking care of. You know, I felt like I had clearly won every single round, if not two rounds, three rounds. If 2-1, 3-1. You know, but like I said, unfortunately, the judges saw different, and you know, and I clearly could see it in his face, and I know the last 30 seconds of the fight, we didn't even get to finish him. We did not get to finish the last 30 seconds of that fight. I heard 30 seconds at the end of the third round, and that's when I told him, come to the center, because if you're going to, you know, in my head, I told myself, if he's going to drop me, he's going to drop me in his own hometown in the center of this cage right now, and that's the way I'm going to go out. But, you know, we did three exchanges, and on the fourth, fifth exchange that I had timed in my head, the time stopped. And that's he dropped right away to his knees, and I didn't know what to do at that point in time, to attack him or stop. But then that's when the ref stepped in the middle and said the fight was over, and that's when I was a little confused. And then when they announced that it was going to be a unanimous decision, I figured it was going to be a draw. You know, we both went at it back and forth. You know, it's even. I was happy leaving Monterrey with the draw. But they say 2-1 in the favor of him. Obviously, you know, I'm the underdog. I was the underdog in that fight, and you know, I clearly know what I have to do now when I go to somebody else's hometown or back to Monterrey, you know, which I doubt, or we'll see if we ever go back and, you know, try to get that rematch. And, you know, next time it will be a different fight, and I know what to do to Levy Marroquin next time in order to beat him.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you know, looking forward to that, if Combate does grant you that rematch, what sort of things can you take away from the first fight that you would, you know, obviously do differently in the rematch?
You know, differently, I wanted to make it either he comes to my hometown, he gets a little taste of my crowd on his back, or we handle this, you know, at a neutral position. It could be wherever Combate wants it. It could be out of the country. It could be neutral where none of our fans are around. You know, it could be in Los Angeles. It could be in Vegas. It could be wherever. You know, it could be main event, co-main event, anywhere, but I would be willing to take the fight, you know, that in a neutral position, so we wouldn't have, you know, we'd be a neutral spot, and people wouldn't have to say it's the judges, it's, you know, it's the crowd, it's it. No, we're placed, and, you know, we're both going to square it out evenly. And, you know.
I told you, in Long Beach, I went up to you and I told you that I've never heard a crowd so loud at Combate de Estrellas last March for your fight, I mean, against Rudy Morales. I mean, that was absolutely insane. I mean, this guy, for you guys listening, he has a phenomenal, phenomenal fan base behind him. But honestly, Froggy, like, what about from, like, a fight perspective? What would you do differently in the rematch that you did not do against Levy in the first fight?
You know, I would actually, you know, we've already talked about it a little bit more. I would probably swing a little bit more. I would actually punch a little bit more and probably throw a couple more punches and just a couple more kicks in the next fight and push the pace even that much more.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a good strategy, man.
Because after that fight, I could have easily gone, two, three more rounds. I could have gone five fives of those championship rounds that night. I wasn't tired.
Really?
I was just, you know, I wasn't tired one single bit. My body wasn't fatigued. I felt good.
How did can you explain to the people listening, because I don't think they understand, how much does a kick to the groin affect you? Not just in the moment, but throughout the rest of the fight following the effects of the kick.
No, you when you get kicked in the groin, you know, you feel it. You feel that like your legs, you feel it in your legs, your stomach, and there's that, you know, that feeling that like, oh damn, I'm gonna go down, or I'm gonna, you know, I might poop myself or something. But you know, it's just the matter of just overcoming that feeling, and you know, just having to fight through that little pain that, you know, that you have between your legs and just, you know, in your stomach. And just what I did, I just, you know, and but then again, hearing that crowd that's against you, or you know, thinking you're faking an injury due to, you know, wanting to take some time off to relax. Nah, it's a different feeling when you're in there, and you gotta just buckle up. And if it doesn't hurt that bad, buckle up and put your hands right back on up and push straight back forward. And that's exactly what I had to do that night.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I mean, why don't you also tell me, I mean, I, like I said, I just mentioned the fact of, you know, your fan base being so animated, so, you know, just so all about Froggy. And so what is that like for you? I mean, does it really affect the way that you fight, having that fan base behind you on fight night?
Not really. Like this time around, for, you know, for traveling, knowing that I was going to travel to Monterrey, knowing I was, you know, making sure, knowing that I was leaving the country without my crowd, you know, I had mentally prepared myself with that, with my mental coach. You know, I mentally prepared myself for, you know, my crowd not being there. You know, just seeing the 10 people that I had there, you know, were loud enough. I had my mom there, I had my brother there, I had my head coach, my professor, Brian Espinosa, my training partner and nutritionist. We're all there, you know. I had at least a handful of people out there, and those are the handful of people that I needed, you know, just to stay calm, relax, and, you know, don't have to worry about the crowd. It was less stress off my shoulders knowing I didn't have that many people there, knowing, oh crap, I'm about to walk out. Oh, there's my uncle. There's my other uncle. I didn't have to worry about none of that. I just, you know, I went out there and I did what Froggy does. Blurred out the crowd and just jumped in La Jaula like the way I do, and just had to go out there and handle business. That's what this fight was about, handling business. But like I said, unfortunately, it didn't go our way that night. And, you know, we're just going to – the crowd doesn't really make clear to me anymore. But when it's here, you guys know when the crowd is there, it's nice and loud. And that's another thing I like, nice and loud crowd when it comes to it.
Yes, sir. Do you feel like Levy was probably the toughest fight you've ever had?
Yeah, I want to say, you know, this is out of my professional career, that's the first fight that's gone all three five minute rounds. You know, from first, second, third, you know, that's the longest fight. The Rudy fight, you know, ended off in the first minute or so in the second round, with the knee strike to the head. So that fight ended up in the second round. That's the second longest fight I've had. But the Levy fight's been by far the, you know, obviously one of my toughest. And, you know, I exposed a lot of stuff from my game in that fight, you know. But by far it's probably one of the good fights I've had through my and any of my fights. So, and especially him being the number two guy in Latin America, being the Copa Combate champion, him having a record of 11-2, I believe it was when I faced him. So, you know, him having a record, you know, these things behind his back, it feels like, you know, Levy's probably one of the toughest fights I've had. And that's why in 2019 we're looking for the big fights. And, you know, we're looking for those top guys that are in my division. And like I said, I just saw eight of them fight on the Copa Combate. So there's probably eight guys that I see in my near future if they're the top guys in the 145 division.
Yeah. Can you give me a prediction? How do you think a rematch with Levy would play out? What would be your prediction for that rematch?
Oh, we're getting that W this time around. That's for sure.
Finish? Would it be a finish, or do you think it goes all the way?
Oh, we're finishing it this time. There's no way it's going all the way.
All right. Okay, I like the confidence, man. I like the confidence. I think you cornered someone, by the way. I wanted to ask you. You cornered someone in Long Beach. Who was that that you cornered in?
Oh, that
he
was
had,
that
he had
was,
a mustache.
That was my. Yeah, that was my training partner, Michael Malicious Reyes. He fought at 125
yeah.
that night, and
he
won by rear naked choke.
Yeah, how's he doing? How's he doing?
He's doing good. You know, he's also enjoying the holidays. You know, he's staying on his training, whether it's stand up or jiu-jitsu. You know, he's staying safe, injury free. He's just keeping the mind open right now, keeping the mind free of, you know, training, not having a worry about a fight right now. But he's looking to fight early next year as well. But he's staying busy. You know, we see each other every day. So, you know, yeah, he's staying busy. He's you know, we're working out every day. And yeah, we expect to see some big things out of Michael Reyes in the 125 division as well.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked great in Long Beach. Just one or two more for you, Froggy, before I let you go. I want to ask you, we spoke about the Copa just a couple minutes ago. What did you think of the Copa itself? Did you happen to watch? What did you see? What were your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, you know, I watched the whole thing. I sat down with my family that night, you know, wishing we were there, wishing we were fighting that night, wishing we were fighting in Fresno that night. But, you know, I saw the guys that performed that night, and I thought it was, you know, it went good. I expected Alejandro Flores and Quintana to be in the finals too as well. You know, both of them are good fighters, you know, hungry fighters. And, you know, the other guys too as well, respect to them for, you know, getting as far as they did in the tournament. But I thought it looked nice. It was great outcome. You know, good, very good performances out of my division. So I did a lot of studying that night. And, you know, that Copa was freaking, as Campbell would say, fucking beautiful. so that Copa would have been nice to bring home as well. But for the most part, it was a very nice show. It was good, great performances that night. And like I said, I kept my eyes out on all eight guys, and I know who I see in my near future.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Last question for you, man, before I let you go. What are your plans for Christmas, man? Are you spending time with family? What do you got going on?
Yeah, for Christmas, you know, I'm spending time with the family. Just do the normal thing. I get to eat a little bit right now, you know, get to relax. So I get to eat some tamales. The good old Mexican. I get to go to grandma's. And you guys hear me talk about grandma's house. Yeah, grandma's house is going to have some good food. So we're going to head out there, you know, relax with the family. And then, you know, just continue the rest of the week leading it through the New Year's. No big plans. Just relax, chill out, enjoy the family. Because 2019, we got to turn it back on. So, you know, get ready for 2019, guys. Jose Froggy Estrada is coming at you guys tough.
Yes, sir, man. Jose, Froggy, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I cannot wait to watch you in La Jolla again in 2019. We're all looking forward to it. I am. Combate fans are. And so thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today, bro, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you, brother. Happy holidays to you guys, and happy holidays for having me. And, you know, I'm thankful every single day for opportunities like this to, you know, get my name out there and, you know, to talk to you guys about what the Frog likes to talk about.
Tell everybody your Instagram handle so they can follow you.
You guys can follow me on Instagram on TheFrogster805, on Facebook, Froggy Estrada, and on Twitter, Froggy_MMA. You guys can follow me on there.
Thank you, bro.
Posting
on Froggy.
Thank you, brother.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And that was Jose Froggy Estrada calling in. Our next caller to come in quick and fast is Andres the Bullet Quintana. He won the Copa Combate just a week or two ago in Fresno, California. The Copa Combate was a tournament of eight fighters, and the winner had to fight three times in one night. He beat three guys in one night. He is a beast. He beat two of them, finished two of them, including the final fight, the championship fight. He finished Alejandro Gallito Flores. He finished him in the first round with a spinning elbow. Andres Quintana is set to call in about 1 minute or so, and we're very excited to have this guy on. We're very excited to have this guy on. He's a tremendous fighter. He backs up. He backs up his talk. He does talk a lot, but he backs it up. And I can't really, you know, say enough about this guy. His talent level and his skill level is on another level. And he's a very, very talented fighter. And I'm looking forward to hearing some things from him. But that was Froggy Estrada. Like I was saying earlier, he fought in March at Combate Estrellas, and I'm looking forward to him fighting in 2019. But right now, on the line, we have Andres Cibol Quintana. Andres, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
How are you doing, bro? How is everything going since you won the Copa?
Really good, but a little bit hectic, you know? I mean, still really, really busy.
I don't blame you. I don't doubt it, man. Thank you for taking the time, first of all and foremost, to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
Letting people know who you are.
Great. So am I.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Let's get to it. Looking back now, a few weeks now removed from Copa, how would you assess the experience overall? Obviously, you won, but how did you think you did? Did you exceed your own expectations? Is there anything you wish you would have done better? How would you assess the overall experience?
You know, I just went in there and I proved that I was the best 145er around, especially in Latin America. And it was a great honor to represent my country. And obviously, it was really, really tough. I felt like I had a extremely difficult bracket. I probably had the most difficult path to the championship compared to everybody. You know, I went in there and I showed every single part of my game. I showed I could box and showed I could defend takedowns. I showed I could get up and I showed a ton of heart. I showed I could, you know, come back from adversity and still win a fight and in spectacular fashion.
Yes, sir. So let's go through that bracket that you just mentioned. I mean, take me through the first fight. One could argue that might have been your toughest fight since the other two guys you finished. Was that your assessment?
Right.
Do you think that the first fight was your toughest?
I don't think it was the toughest. I took a lot less damage in the second fight, but just I was able to show how high level of boxing I have. And I've been working boxing since I was a child, you know. I had my first boxing match at 12 years old, so I was just super happy to work that. And we worked this boxing really heavily this camp, you know, just in case. We didn't plan to stand with this guy because we knew that was one of his strong points. And we kind of looked to take him down. But, I mean, fights are dynamic, and we couldn't get the takedown. We only had one round, so we just stood there in the pocket and boxed him.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about the second fight. Now, obviously, in the second fight, it was against Bruno Canetti, and you happen to have gotten dropped. Can you talk to me, how badly were you hurt when he dropped you?
I really wasn't hurt too bad. It was more like of a punch I didn't really see. Like, of course, it rocked me a little bit and stuff, but I was completely aware of exactly where I was at, exactly what I was doing, and what I had to do to turn the tides on him. And as everyone knows, that's exactly what I did. You know, he clipped me, but it was just, I felt like it was a punch I just didn't see coming, and because we actually expected him to wrestle us a lot instead of come out there and try and kill me.
Were you surprised that he beat Rouquette?
No, I really wasn't. I wasn't really like wondering, oh, who's going to win. Rouquette's a smaller guy. He should be a 35er. I think he came in, he weighed in like at 143 or something like that. So he really doesn't even need to be up here with the big boys. So.
Right. Okay. So going back to the Canetti fight, you know, obviously it's no mystery. A lot of people say the Canetti fight was stopped early. Now, what did you see? In terms of Bruno's ability in there to intelligently defend himself when you dropped him, what did you see?
I don't understand how taking shots over and over and over is intelligently defending yourself. He didn't even look to block any of shots. He grabbed the single leg the wrong way. If people don't know, you know, you're supposed to wrap around the outside of your leg. You know, I could have easily taken his back. I could have continued to stay there and you know, land more and more strikes. He was in a really bad position. So I believe even if the ref let it go longer, I mean, the outcome would have been the exact same.
Yeah. After the fight ended, his brother came into La Jolla, and he was pretty animated, saying some things. Bruno was animated. Can you tell us what they were saying in there? Were they speaking to you? What were they saying?
I don't think they were yelling at me. I think they were yelling at the ref. But, I mean, shit, that's not my job. I was there. I was aware that they were pissed off, and I was ready to throw hands again if I needed to.
Yeah. Would you be willing to,
I mean,
if they were to, if they say, Andres, they want you to fight Kennedy again?
I'm fighting whoever they ask me to fight. I'm fighting for a world title, but I don't believe Bruno Kennedy deserves a world title shot after losing. In my opinion,
okay.
But I was ready to fight him again inside the cage right after the stoppage. I thought they were going to try and come up and like fight me then and there.
Well, speaking of that title shot, I just got off the phone with Jose Froggy Estrada, and he had some interesting things to say about that title shot that you're talking about. He wants a piece of the action.
Of course they do. I'm in line for the title, and I'm the rightful king of this whole division. That fool has no business saying my name, because that fool still has Levy problems. That fool just got beat by Levy. I haven't lost to Levy. I ain't lost to anyone in Combate. All these fools have everyone else's problems. We need someone fresh. We need someone that hasn't lost in Combate to step up and fight me.
He told me that there was some sort of conversation that happened in an elevator where he spoke to you and said he was down to fight, and you said you were down to fight. Is that accurate? Did that conversation happen?
Yeah,
is that what was said?
Yeah, that's accurate. But there's no way he ever punked me though. He just all he told me was, "Hey, what's up, bro? I thought they were gonna line us up for the tournament." And I was like, "Yeah, so did I," and that was exactly the extent of the conversation. And from the higher ups, I've heard that they offered Froggy the spot for the qualifier for the United States, and he turned it down. That's what I heard from the higher ups.
Why? Why do you think he turned it down?
And look who would have been fighting.
Okay. Fair enough. all right. I think that would obviously be an interesting fight. I mean, I know you're kind of willing to fight anybody right now. But let's talk a little bit. Let's go back to the Gaito fight,
right.
The championship fight, the title fight, Copa Combate. The ending was very similar to the Yair Pantera Rodriguez versus Korean Zombie fight. That spinning elbow, very very similar
kind of,
ending.
But
I
wasn't losing the fight. Let's put that
right.
In there. You know.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah,
I felt like I was
course.
Dominating the fight. I was winning. I hurt him with the check left hook, and you know, I felt like I was the one putting all the pressure and landing the most effective strikes.
The first minute of the Gaito fight, what was that like? Were you nervous? Were there jitters? What was that like for you?
Nah, I'm never nervous to fight anyone. I just know I was going in a disadvantage, and I was beat up. You know, I was beat up from the two previous fights. I basically fought Gaito on one leg. So I just went in there and did what I had to do. I'm a tough guy, and I'm never going to give up as long as I'm conscious and I'm able to. If I'm able to breathe, I'm never giving up. I promise you that. The first minute, you know, I just went in there and I just kind of felt him out. I've trained with him before. You know, obviously he will be. He's different. It's been a couple of years since he's trained with us. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to see what he was reacting to. What he would bite on, you know, and my check left hook landed pretty flush, and I don't know if he was hurt. I can't tell you. I'm not him, but yeah, I did drop
right.
him with the check left hook.
Well, let's talk about the knockout itself, right? Because sometimes spinning elbows are like inadvertent. They're kind of just meant to kind of get someone off your chest. But I mean, was yours kind of like, were you planning that? Like, was that something that you saw and, you know, tactfully did, or was that just you trying to just throw something out there? Talk to me about the knockout itself.
I never throw something just to throw something out there. There's always something behind. There's always a plan. There's always a meaning behind whatever strike I throw. I throw this a lot in training, and I'm very good at it. It doesn't land. It lands a lot for me in training, but it's been my percentages have been coming down because my training partners understand when I throw it, where I throw it, and they've finally adjusted to it after a few years, you know. So, but I still do land at a pretty high percentage. It's just one of my signature moves, I guess you can say. You know, he threw a kick to the body, but it landed on my forearm, and I was trying to move, but he kind of pressured me, and my back was like almost on the cage, so I really didn't have anywhere to go, so I kind of crouched a little bit because I knew he'd throw a few big strikes, so I was kind of like in a defensive Philly shell. And as that right hand came, you know, I knew it was the perfect time to throw it, so I threw it. And, you know, I throw almost every single punch with intentions to knock him out, and that's exactly what happened.
Yes, sir. Can you talk to me about what the emotions were like when you had won? Like, just take me back. What were your first thoughts when you had won the fight?
You know, I landed the elbow, and I didn't know how hurt he was because obviously I was spinning. And as I see him falling, I was like, I have to finish this fight here, you know. I don't feel like going the next two rounds. So I just jumped on him. I threw a huge hammer fist, and it missed him. And that would have probably been one of the worst punches to land of the tournament because I threw that with very, very, very bad intentions. So that punch missed. And I just went knee on belly, secured good position, made sure he wasn't able to get up, and just started raining some left hands. I think I hit him with like five or six, maybe. I'm not too sure, but it was a good amount. And I feel like the ref should have stopped it sooner. Honestly, Alejandro is one of my friends, and I don't like fighting my friends, but I'll do whatever I got to do. I'm not afraid of anybody. So if you're my friend and I got to fight you, I'm sorry, but I'm coming to whoop your ass.
I gotcha. So, I mean, I know you said, you know, hoped that it wouldn't have to go another two rounds. Had it gone another two rounds, what was the gas tank like?
Oh, I have an amazing gas tank. That's probably one of my best attributes in fighting. We were super excited that. Excuse me?
You could have gone another two rounds.
Oh, yeah, easily. My gas tank is never a problem. I was more worried about my body not being able to do what I wanted it to do. But I was gonna go in there and I was going to fight no matter what. Like I said before, I train in Albuquerque. I train at Elevation. I train at, it's 5,500 feet in the city and, 11,000 feet in the mountain. And we go up to the mountain all the time. So I have a lot more red blood cells than these guys that train at sea level. And just science, you know. So I wasn't worried at all. And I'm mentally tough if no one but knew by now, you know. Everyone says, oh, he probably don't got no heart. He don't got nothing. But you guys don't ever doubt me again because I showed how much heart I got this whole tournament.
Yes, sir. Talk to me about the trophy. Where is the trophy right now? Do you have the trophy? Did it arrive at your house yet? Or?
I do not have the trophy. I'm supposed to go on a tour for winning the Copa Combate tournament. And I'm assuming the trophy's going to be with me whenever I'm on tour. And I'm assuming that Combate's going to send it to me after this.
Right. Yeah, that would probably be a good assumption. I would assume that as well.
Yeah.
So So talking about your goals for 2019. I mean, obviously, I know you said you want to actually fight for a belt. I think that was one of the things you said after the fight was that, you know, it was like, all right, the trophy's nice, but I want an actual belt.
My goal's always been to be a world champion, and that's next in line. And I'm super excited. And I want to be an active world champion, and I want to be able to defend it many times a year. After I win this title, I'm going to be looking onto, you know, who I'll be fighting next. We'll be keeping a close eye on the top guys in the division. And, you know, I'm the one that has a target on my back now. Everyone's been able to study me for the past 2 years, and I haven't really been able to study anyone. So it'll be tough, you know. These guys are going to have years of studying me, and I'm get some new guys coming in and not really being able to see them fight much. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm really excited, but I want to be a very active champion.
Well, we mentioned Kennedy, we mentioned Estrada, and you kind of seem to not really be interested in either of those fights. So is there anyone in particular that you have your eye on, anyone in particular that you'd like to fight?
Honestly, not really. I don't know who they really got anymore. I mean, I've beat 8 of their featherweights and all of their top featherweights. So, I mean, shit, I'm not the matchmaker, you know.
Right.
I just don't see how someone coming off a loss can fight for a world title. I truly, truly don't understand that. Froggy, that boy is an amateur. He shouldn't even If he's able to step into the ring with me, he should feel honored.
What about Levy? What about a rematch with Levy? Would that interest you?
I mean, yeah, Levy's cool. We fought before, but I'm his last loss, you know. He's got what, 4 wins now. So I mean, yeah, I mean, to me, I feel like they should have like a little title eliminator. Whoever wins, whatever against whoever, you know, maybe like a little 4-man tournament or something, like in one night, or I don't know, whatever. I don't know what they're gonna do, but I just feel like they kind of need to prove themselves that they're worthy to be in there with me.
Gotcha. Absolutely, man. I would probably agree with you on that one. I mean, you are the winner of the Copa Combate, so I feel like you know, makes sense that you feel like you should have some say. So obviously you won, what, $100,000 after winning the Copa. Is there anything special you're going to do with the money? Any extravagant gifts you want to buy for yourself, anything like that?
I don't know. I'm into watches and cars and stuff like anyone else, so. We'll see what I spend my money on. I like money too, so I'm gonna invest it also. You know, I'm gonna be smart with it.
Okay, I like that. I like that. Would you be willing to move up in weight for a fight? I know. We talked about, me and you talked about that briefly, like in the hotel after the fight, and you mentioned something about that. Would that be something that you would do?
The only way I'll move up in weight is to fight for another world title. To become the first dual champ for Combate.
So you want to be double champ? All right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool, lucrative, and if the money's there, you know, we got to talk about the money. I'm at the end of the day, I'm a prize fighter. I fight for money, and that's what's going to make me move.
What have you been up to since you won? I know you said you've been busy when we started this conversation. Like, what stuff have you been doing since you won? Have you trained yet? Have you trained, done any training since you won, or has it just been?
Yeah, I've been in the gym. I've been in the gym here and there. You know, I always want to stay sharp and be ready, and the biggest thing I want to do is keep on learning and keep on growing as a martial artist. That's where people don't get some surprises, and they don't pick up on tendencies because we're always changing. So yeah, I've been in the gym, you know, but I've been doing a ton of interviews, so many interviews, it's crazy. And then I'm sure in January it's gonna be even crazier. Just, you know, trying to answer all my fan mail, answer all the haters, you know, just having fun, living life, and kind of, man, I went Christmas shopping, and that's harder than you think, man. Like, now everyone's all like, oh, he's got a whole bunch of money. What are they going to get me? And, like, I don't want to, like, just spoil everyone, but I want to get something meaningful. So it's just kind of getting the right mixture, you know?
Gotcha. I gotcha, man.
Yeah.
I was actually – I sat next to your striking coach on the flight back to Phoenix. I asked him. I was like, yeah, when do you think Andres will be back in the gym? He's like, 1 week. And it's just
right.
It's crazy because a lot of guys, you know, who win a fight like that, especially fight 3 times in one night, it might take 2-3 weeks off. I mean, but you're back in the gym after 1 week, you know, getting back at it. You know, I mean, that just goes to show how you know, dedicated you are to this craft.
Yeah, man, I'm a workhorse, and I'm never going to let anyone outwork me. Promise you that.
I like that, man. Going back to the Copa, what? And it's a hard question to answer, but what area is there a specific area of your game that you were most proud of during the Copa?
Honestly, yeah, my striking, my boxing was really crisp. I've been working with Sergio. You know, I worked with him on and off like about 5 or 6 years ago when I first came to Albuquerque, and now he's just recently, like a couple of years, he's been in my camp full time, and it's amazing. You know, not to discredit my old boxing coach, Lupe, that is from Roswell, but he lives in Roswell now, and I live here now, you know? So, I mean, I feel like Sergio's the best around, and he's had multiple world champions in boxing, Danny Romero and Johnny Tapia. He's trained both of them, and he's trained many, many successful boxers, and I feel like that's shown a lot.
One of the names that I've heard when it comes to, I've been talking to people and I've been asking, you know, just
fans of Combate, who do you think Quintana should fight next? There have been three names that have been thrown out, and one of them was, as like I said, Canetti, but the other one was
right.
Gaston Reyna, who was did not take part in the Combate card, but was presumed
right.
to have done well if he had. I mean, what do you think about a fight with Reyna? Would that be a fight that would interest you?
Oh, I don't. I'll fight Reyna. I'll fight him a drop of a hat. You know, just bring him on in.
You don't really care who you fight.
I don't. Because I truly, truly believe I'm the best in the world right now.
What about if Gonzalez wants a rematch? Would you grant him a rematch? If it were up to you, would you give him a rematch against you?
Who's that?
Ghost Pepper.
That fool needs to prove himself. I beat him easily. Easily. I out-wrestled him. I out-boxed him. He was scared to strike. I don't know. I don't know who else. You know, why would I even give Ghost Pepper a rematch? He's fought one time at 45. He got smashed by me. He needs to put together some wins.
Okay, so I'm gonna make this real. I'm gonna make it real simple for you. All right. If you had to choose between Froggy, Levy, and Canetti for your next fight, if you had to choose between one of those three guys, who would you? Who would you pick to fight?
Who was the first guy?
Froggy, Canetti, and Levy. If you had to choose between those three guys in your next fight, if it were up to you, which one of those guys would you prefer to fight next?
I would whip the shit out of Froggy because he's the easiest. That's an easy payday for me, you know.
Okay. Man, all the confidence, Mel. But you, like I said before you came on, you back it up, man. You walk the walk and you talk the talk. What's the first junk meal you ate after winning? And I'm not talking about – I know you had In-N-Out. We had an In-N-Out at the hotel, but what's the first junk meal that you had since you won the Copa?
Probably some Mexican food. I truly don't even remember. And yeah, we all had In-N-Out, but I only had like one burger.
Yeah.
I don't really
yeah.
like In-N-Out that much. It's all right, but I like Fatburger
yeah.
a lot. So I still like to eat.
What
healthy.
Are your?
Yeah, I just like to
Go
eat
ahead.
Healthy. Still, you know, my body is how I make my money. So I'm always trying to be on my diet. You know, if I really really want something, I'm not gonna be like, oh no, I have a fight in four months. I'm not gonna eat it. Oh yeah, I'll splurge a little, but nothing I want to crave that I crave really bad. Sometimes. I'll crave hot Cheetos, and I had a bag of hot Cheetos after my fight. Just
so those
like
are good.
Half a bag,
yeah.
I think, maybe. Yeah, I love hot Cheetos.
Right. Christmas plans. What are you up to for Christmas? What do you got going on this year?
I'm going to go see my family, of course. Majority of my family lives in Roswell, at least my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, my mom, my mom's brothers, which are my uncles and stuff, you know. And I'm going to go out there, and my grandma always throws a big Christmas dinner, and she makes amazing food. And that's going to be my biggest cheat meal is her food. So I'm really excited
yes,
for that.
I know that, you train in Albuquerque, obviously. That's no mystery to anybody. And also, you know, who trains in Albuquerque? John Jones. His fight 5 days after Christmas. Are you planning on going to the Jones-Gustafson fight, or is that in your plans?
I will be in Vegas that Friday. My strength conditioning coach Nick, he actually invited me to his dinner. We'll see. I may be going. Me and John Jones have the we train at the Performance Ranch for strength conditioning. So and I've trained with him before in the past, and I've hung out with him. You know, a handful
mm-hmm.
of times. You know, we're cool. We know each other. We're cool. Yeah.
Gotcha, Andres. Again, dude, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, man. I really, really appreciate it. Very much looking forward to seeing you again in Wahala. The last question I have for you is, speaking of returning to Wahala, how soon would you like to fight again?
I was asking Eduardo right after I won the tournament, who am I fighting next? But he had no answers for me. I would like to fight as soon as possible. I know the
yeah.
first event's, I think, in February. If I could get on that, that'd be cool.
Okay. Awesome, bro. Thank you so much again for taking the time, Andres. I appreciate Andres de Bola Quintana, winner of the Copa Combate, here right now. Thank you so much, man, and have a happy holidays to you and your family. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That was Andres de Bola Quintana. Unfortunately, we don't have time for our third guest. To be honest, he actually doesn't have time to call in. But it makes me feel better for me to say that that we don't have time. All jokes aside, that was Andres de Bola Quintana. The third guest was supposed to be Jose Pochito Aldai, Combate Americas' inaugural bantamweight champion, but he is off dealing with a personal hospital issue, I think, for his brother or his son. But he is okay. Jose Pochito Aldai, he is fine. Which is good news for Combate, but I wish him the best with whatever he's got going on. Pochito was going to come on. I can kind of tell you about what was going to happen because, you know, he was going to come on and talk. Jose Pochito Aldai is Combate again. He's Combate Americas' inaugural bantamweight champion. He's our first, you know, official – he is the first official belt that Combate Americas has made. And basically right now, I mean, his last fight was against a guy named Gustavo Lopez. It was in mid-September in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was supposed to be fighting Levy Marroquin, who obviously we've heard that name bounced around several times with, you know, obviously Jose Froggy Estrada, who just fought him, and Andres de Bola Quintana, who also fought Levy before, you know, so... He was supposed to fight Levy Marroquin, but Marroquin had, I think he had staph infection, he couldn't make weight. There was something going on, so Marroquin couldn't fight. Gustavo Lopez comes in. It was a great, great fight, back and forth fight. The judges awarded the victory to Jose Pochito Aldai. There was commotion, people thinking that Gustavo won. And then you have a guy like Goyito. Now, Goyito is one of the best fighters in the Combate organization. He came over from the UFC. Goyito Perez is his name. Eric Goyito Perez is his full name. He came over from the UFC and to Combate, and the reason he came over was to win a title. And so it seems like, you know, he feels like he's entitled to that title. He was entitled to that title shot before Aldai was entitled to it. And he's kind of – there's some beef going on there between Aldai and Goyito. And the mission was to figure out and to explain to you guys why there's beef and how that beef began between Goyito and Pochito. These two, you know, they've been tripping at each other for a while. I think there was talk in Monterrey about where Goyito fought and won in the first round, at Pochito – you know, that these guys got to fight. I believe they will fight in 2019. It's just a matter of when and where. But we have a tremendous team at Combate that is in charge of matchmaking and putting these amazing fights together, as you saw with the Copa Combate, if you happen to watch it. Just amazing, amazing, event that we had, you know. For me, just – I can't stress enough how amazing this organization is and amazing the fighters are, but the Pochito fight against Goyito would be absolutely awesome. And I think everyone's kind of looking forward to that. If it does happen, I would have wanted to see what he thought of the Copa, assessing Quintana, his goals for 2019. But this is a guy who is just extremely humble and a very nice person, and I wish you guys, you know, would have been able to hear from him today, but we will try to get him on the next one, on the next show. In the meantime, we got about 5 minutes left, so let me just jump to some other sports-related topics that are in the news today. Obviously, today, breaking news that, you know, Josh Gordon of the New England Patriots wide receiver, who has, you know, been in and out of mental health institutions and suspended and then reinstated and suspended and reinstated from the NFL. Today he was officially suspended indefinitely by the NFL. This is probably the end of his NFL career, end of his football career, as he's, you know, checking himself back into mental health.
So in the second or third time he's done this now, and it's safe to say his career is over. This is a guy who people are going to look back and say, what if, for a long time. He was one of the very, very promising young players a couple of years ago when he was 22, 23 years old, with a terrible, atrocious Cleveland Browns team in 2012, 2013. I mean, that team's been terrible for a while, but they were really, really bad, and he actually made them look okay for a year or two in 2012, 2013. And it just didn't work out for him. I mean, he was amazing. He was great. And then he started getting in trouble when it came to drugs. And he's just going to be one of those players, again, you look back and say, well, what if? What if he hadn't? And he's 27 years old. It's a shame. He would have been in the prime of his career. He was on the Patriots with Tom Brady. I mean, some people envision some sort of Brady Randy Moss kind of reincarnation there, but it just didn't work out. It didn't happen that way. And I feel sorry for him, and I hope that he gets his life together and figures out and gets clean and gets his life back on track. And, you know, maybe one day he can you know, coach football or if he does get back to – I mean, obviously in the perfect world, he does get back to the NFL, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, the NFL's given him enough chances at this point, and his playing career is over. That does not mean that he can't get his life back on track and maybe do some coaching or, talking to youth about talking to youth that are in similar situations as him about how to get their life on track. He could be a real role model to a lot of people if he's able to right the ship. So I really hope he does. Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan said that Big Ben is not a top five quarterback in this era. Interesting words from the Saints quarterback. These two teams are scheduled, I believe, to play this Sunday as the Saints host Pittsburgh. And if you're asking me, is this guy a Hall of Famer, Big Ben? Of course he is. His first year, he went 15-1 in his first season. They lost one game. So, I mean, if you're talking about, and then they won the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, and then they also beat the Cardinals. He's got two rings. He's a very, very good quarterback. I would happen to disagree. I mean, there's a lot of great guys, I mean, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. I mean, and then maybe probably Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, you know, you can make the case for Eli Manning or Philip Rivers, but I think Roethlisberger is better than Eli. I think he's better than Rivers. I definitely think that he's top five. I do think there's a big difference between Brees, Brady, Rodgers, and Manning and Big Ben. I think there's definitely a gap between the those tiers. You know, I mean, I'd put Brady, Manning and Rodgers on one tier, and then just below it, I'd put Brees, and then just below Brees, I'd put Roethlisberger. And if you're wondering how I would have to rank Brady, Rodgers, and Manning, I mean, that's extremely difficult. Personally, I like Aaron Rodgers a lot, and I love Peyton Manning a lot. I'm a Dolphins fan, so Brady's not my favorite guy. But in terms of greatness, I mean, I think you could rank them in any order, and you can make an argument for it. So, but again. Just thank you guys for listening today. We had two great guests, Jose Froggy Estrada, Andres Ibor Quintana. Unfortunately, Jose Pochito Wadai cannot join us, but I'm sure he will join us. He will join us in the next show as the music starts to play now here. Honestly, guys, I mean, in other news, I mean, what's going on with the NBA? I mean, the Warriors are number three seed. The Rockets are playing terrible. I mean, right now, the Orlando Magic are in the playoffs at 14-16. I mean, that just shows how weak the East are. I mean, the worst team in the Western Conference is right now, I mean, playoff-wise, is the Spurs. I mean, geez Louise. I mean, do you know that at 14-16, the Orlando Magic would be basically they'd be like the second or third worst. I mean, there's the Suns and Timberwolves, and then it would be the Magic. You know, he'd be the first worst team in the West, and yet they're in the playoffs for the East. Crazy stuff, guys. Join me for the next show. Appreciate you listening. I got to run. Time's up. Thanks again, though.